Welcome to the Hex Pod, an arcane League of Legends podcast dedicated to review each and every episode every week. My name's Nick.
I'm Michelle.
This week, we're coming off the hot rewatch of episode 8, named
Oil and Water.
Who's the oil? I'm a bit oilish.
They got something to take care of that if you need
it. Right. Yeah, that is correct. All right. This was a... We're getting near the end.
I know. I noticed that.
I know. I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, we have 2 more weeks and that's a wrap till season 2.
Mm-hmm. And that season 2 is coming out.
2023.
2023.
I know. Brought a tear to my eye. No more. Okay.
Rain drops. Yeah. Rain. Cue the rain. The emotional.
The crocodile tears. Okay. So, well, I don't know if we need, I was thinking about, I mean, this is so fucking far away. I don't even know if it's worth discussing, but about how we're going to do. Obviously, we're going to be back for season 2 in 2023. So make sure you keep our feed in your podcast list there. But we're probably going to do it just to throw it out there. We're probably, so this was released I think this was released. We caught it at like the very end, but like, I think they did act one the first week. The next week they released act two, and the following week they released act three.
Correct.
So what we'll probably do is we'll watch act one that night. We'll have an instant take. We'll talk about the whole, we'll watch the whole thing. We'll talk about it. Next week we'll do act two, talk about it. Act three, we'll do an instant take that night, so people have something to listen to when they're ready to talk about the show. So we'll do all 3 weeks each act. And after that, we'll break down every episode and go through it like how we just did it this way.
Right.
So it'll be basically a 10-week. If it's, assuming it's 9, it'll be 12 weeks with the 3 acts, 9 episodes. Then maybe like a wrap-up cast. We're probably going to do something like that. So it'll be plenty of arcane to talk about for like, well, if that's 12, it'll be like 3 months. We'll have stuff to talk about for. So yeah, anyways, I mean, that's still like a year and a half away. But something to keep in mind. We actually have some corrections. Every week we try to throw some corrections on you. We actually had a couple emails about some stuff, and I kind of pulled them and figured that we can kind of add this into discussion this week. Number one was a message I got on Reddit. You ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Did I know this one already?
Yeah. I told when we were talking about, we talked about it already. Okay. But anyways, congratulations on an excellent podcast. After watching Arcane, I felt the need to discuss it, but didn't have anyone around me interested in it, so your podcast has helped. Well, thank you. What they kind of list some stuff here. Great accessibility. The pod is easy to follow along, scene by scene, even when driving. Good. Stay safe. Never played League, so hearing both sides from a League perspective and a League noob is good. That is wonderful. this one's funny. Maybe Roman numerals just aren't for you.
No.
We failed the test. Failed the test. So, and now this is actually the correction right here. Just a tiny thing, but it's not Imagination Dragons. It's Imagine Dragons, which... My 8-year-old son has been kind of getting back into the show, and we watched it. And I looked as soon as I got this, we went and watched an episode. I was like, "Oh yeah, they're right. It is Imagine Dragons." Whoopsie daisies! And thanks for the podcast, and eagerly awaiting the next episode. Wonderful. Well, thank you for that. That was from Gothic 696. Thank you very much for that, Gothic. All right, and number two, I was trying to debate. Okay, this is from an Alessandra. She gave us a very in-depth email about, her theories for season 2. We're going to save that for, the wrap-up podcast, but she gave, this is probably the most in-depth email we got about, the justification for liking Jinx. I didn't really know how much of this we should, I mean, it's pretty long. But basically to some, well, let's just read, I'll read maybe the first like 2 paragraphs here. Okay. For the record, I really relate to Nick's consistent recognition at Jinx's potential as a good guy, and I was wishing for a Victor Jinx duo moment in technology, but alas, that ship has sailed. It certainly has. I also respect that you're being annoyed as crap with Jinx and not liking her character. There are a lot of people who feel that way. It is truly a preference. I, for example, am annoyed with Jace constantly, but I know he's Nick's boy, so we'll just stop right there. You know, I don't mind people shitting on Jace. It's all right. Like, it's just my opinion. My opinion doesn't mean a whole lot, and I can take a If you want to put him in, call him a privileged fucking prick, that's cool with me. So, okay. Now, let's kind of go with the one paragraph here. Well, she kind of her, there's about, this is about a 3-page thing about why this person likes Jinx, but we'll kind of just read the first paragraph. It's pretty good. So, Jinx's character is done really well. I get the sense early on you're not supposed to enjoy her as a person per se, but more or less just supposed to enjoy watching her character exist and the curveballs it throws at you. The logic behind the psychology of why Jinx is the way she is might be one of the most interesting and tragic backstories I've ever seen. I was shocked with how far they went with her and themes they used. Her character had my respect pretty early on and therefore kept my attention. I would say that pretty much sums up the email. It just kind of goes in more in depth of what she means by that. But I agree with that, though, because even when we watched this first, I mean, like I've said before, I talk a lot of shit about Jinx. But the first time we watched this, I was totally engrossed the whole thing. You too, because you talked about how much you liked her the first time.
The first time.
You're like, I love her. And yeah, so it's no, I understand it. I understand it. It's just the, I guess it's not say, I guess I don't even know where you draw the line with. I get why people like her in that way. Like she's interesting, like an interesting character. Cause I agree 100%. She's very interesting, very well done, but it's like the sympathetic romanticization of her killing people and just being a fucking whack job. Like people are like, yo, she deserves all like, no. As a character, she doesn't deserve shit except a bullet to the head.
Right.
But like, cause like when we're watching this the second time, we were watching it with a critical eye because we're reviewing these episodes. We're not just watching it to suck up the entertainment. Mm. So it's like, we're viewing this a little bit differently than we did the first time.
Yeah. Cause I say, I totally agree with that. Like that's why the first time we watched it through, cause I did feel like they took this whole focus on Jinx. Like it seemed like, you know, they showed her background and her progression. And then it kind of shows like the way she is because of that. And then like even with Vi, because Vi has the same past.
Yep.
She's gone through the same, almost same circumstances. Maybe she was a little bit older, but I mean, she still lost her family. She still lost Vander. She's still the whole situation. They were side by side. But yet Vi, I don't want to say she doesn't have personal growth, but like it almost seems like her mission is to still save Jinx. You know what I mean? Like she's not as, I'm going to say messed up by it. I mean, I'm sure she is in her own way, but they don't really go into it. I feel like
she's just able to handle it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it still always kind of just feels like, I don't know, like Jinx is more who's still needs the growing and people want to cheer on, I don't know, the growing path to hopefully change it around. But
I think also, what it could be though too, is that, on Reddit, they did a poll about the age group of people that watch this show. And the overwhelmingly people that watch the show are like people from like 18 to 22 or some shit like that. Or it might have been younger. It was like really young. So maybe that's why like.
It makes me feel old when you say that's really young.
Fucking I know, right? I know. So it's, the most people that watch or listen to our show are ages, I think it was like 30, like the mid 30s. So right about your age. Yeah. So
it's a show for everyone, except for there's some F bombs, so maybe not.
Yeah, we do have 1% of our audience is over the age of 65. I want to hear from you guys. That's who I want to hear from. But so what did you think of this episode on the rewatch?
I liked it a lot.
Yes.
I know that's very big, but I thought there's a lot of background with Mel that I'm kind of interested in. Is very emotional. I like that. It showed character growth. And then, there's some good fight scenes too and some hex weapons being used finally.
Yep. This was a, we said when we the first episode, when we watched this the first time on the first episode, I think I remember telling you those blue gem things are going to be the way they're going to get their quote unquote superpowers. And that's how they're going to be. That's how Vi is going to become get her punching glove. And this was finally, this is what you see. I knew where this was going to kind of go, but in a way, and this kind of it, the conclusion of that came into the forefront with the with the fight. And it was pretty badass to see. But I also we'll talk about that later. But this is a great episode. Vi and Caitlin, I think the Vi and Caitlin stuff was really good.
Yes, yeah.
That's the laying in the, we'll talk about, but the laying in the bed, the story, just, you can just tell That was good stuff. Good stuff. I mean, they're selling their relationship. I'm buying. 100% buying. Like, not because they're two girls. All right. I know that's the way you're looking at me.
We'll get to it when we get there. But I was going to say, even, you know, it just like the bonding experience.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They're selling it. And that's crazy because you watch some shows and movies like Game of Thrones, Danny and John. Yeah, was that his name? Yeah. The main guy.
John. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're Jon Snow, when they're like, yeah, their relationship, like fucking, like I barely bought that in the last season. Like it just didn't feel natural and stuff. And they, that shit went on 8 or 9 episodes they were trying to sell that for. And I'm just like the whole time, like, yeah, I guess. But this is like, I don't know. I'm buying every second of it. So it's great to see.
If you're buying, they're selling.
I'm buying what they're selling. Right. Yeah, exactly. Let's dive right in. Oil and Water. Scene 1. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now that's her mom's name is Mrs. Pronounce that again.
Oh, shoot. Like I said, I was Googling it and every time I Googled it, it was coming up something different. It's
Mrs. Mandra.
Medora.
Okay, we're going with that, people. If that's not right, well, too bad. That's what we're going with. Mrs. Medora. Young Mel is down in a broken type of castle in the chambers. That seems to be a battle seemed to happen there, or something happened there. Mel's mom, Mrs. Medora, tells Mel about she needs to be the fox and the wolf. Mel tells her that she wants to be the one handling trade within her family. The guards bring in a prisoner. Mel wants to let her go and show her mercy. Then Mel's mom, Mrs. Medora? Mrs. Medora ends up cutting off her head. Then Mel awakens from a slumber next to Jace. It keeps going for a little bit more stuff, but let's just talk about this opening scene. What did you think about it? We're back with the flashbacks.
So, yeah, back with flashbacks / dreams, I guess.
Yeah,
but,
same thing.
And like I said, I don't know if it's hard because like I don't, like I said, I've never been into like, I don't say the gaming stuff or, you know, so like there's a lot of information. There's a lot of like websites, but I don't know where they get this information from. So I don't know if it's
where, just, who gets what information.
Well, like these websites, cause like they're talking about, cause from what I originally heard is Mel is a character that is made up for Arcane.
Yep.
She's not League of Legends,
right?
But where she comes from
is a place. Nexus or Noxus or
Nexus.
Okay. Nexus. Yeah.
And then like her, I don't think her mother is a real character, but other people in her family are. But I couldn't find any evidence of that now. So, but basically they're like a warlord. Like they're basically, they're there. They go, they take over other stuff. It's very violent. And so basically her and her mom I don't know if this is the point where they're having a decision where her mom's realizing she doesn't have the war gene.
Yeah.
She has the, let's try to make peace and,
she wants to be diplomatic about the situations. Yeah. Because she mentions that she wants to like, her mom's like trying to tell her about, you need to be the fox and the wolf. Basically you need to, I don't know, I guess be like a politician, be soft when you need to be soft and become hard when you need to be hard. Yeah. But Mel's is basically saying, I want to handle the family. Like she's talking about trading or something about. And you know, that prisoner, she wants to let her go.
And I think the prisoner is like a test. Cause she says, do you want to sit on the throne? And she's all like, but then she's asking her, what should we do with this prisoner?
Mm-hmm.
And Mel's saying, let's show mercy. Let's show that we are merciful. And the mother's saying, no, she is a symbol of the past. Yep. And we need to get rid of her. And yeah, so that was Mel's test. And apparently she did not pass her mother's test.
Yeah, she got fucking banished from her family. So yeah, she failed. We know. Her mom's a hard ass, just chopped this young girl's head off right in front of her. It's pretty ruthless. So.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. So moving on, Vi drags Caitlin from the destruction of the bridge. Silco finds Jinx on the bridge. The enforcers start to run toward the bridge. Caitlin finds that the gem is gone outside the case. And Vi sees Silco takes Jinx away.
And honestly, what the first thing I noticed in this scene is Silco's actually emotional about seeing Jinx that way. And so.
Yeah. It's.
He's got a little shimmer heart.
All right. It's not all shimmer. There's a little hex in there somewhere. Yeah. He cares. I mean, he goes, you can say he cares for Jinx in a run. He's pretty distraught about the whole situation. Now, but it still doesn't, it doesn't change the fact of what he's fucked Jinx up super bad these last 7 years.
Yeah.
Regardless of him caring for her.
He's not helped when I was talking about her growth, her stalling of her growth and coming around. He has definitely not enabled that.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, Jinx. If you care for her or Silco, big whoop-de-doo.
But then kind of, like I said, I think that's the whole reason why, I think I mentioned this before, I was kind of confused, but I think some of the reason why Silco is so bonded with her is because, I don't know if they ever said that Silco was her family, but they kind of had, the same, black sheep in their family.
Sure, right.
You know, kind of experience, so, and they were rise above together to prove people wrong type thing, too.
That is true. And Vi does see, I think also Vi seeing Silco take Jinx away, it kind of solidifies that kind of her worst nightmares about Jinx being with Silco. Mm-hmm. It's proven now. She knew that. That's why she started started getting a little teary eyed there. So, yep. All right, let's move on. Jason and Mel are down at the bridge to see the destruction, are completely taken back by it. Vi helps Caitlin inside of her house. Caitlin introduces Vi to her parents. They want Vi and Caitlin try to talk her parents into talking to the council. They explain that the government doesn't really care about the citizens of Zaun. And Mrs. Kimmerman? I always forget. Let's call her Mrs. Kimmerman for right now. Mrs. K. There we go. Yeah, I like that. Okay, Mrs. K agrees to take him down to the council meeting. So right off the bat, you see that Mrs. K kind of looks, you know, with Vi being somebody from the lanes, she looks down upon her.
Yeah.
She's like, get her out of here for now while we discuss what's going on.
I also noticed in this scene, obviously, I'm sure Vi is pretty probably shocked that this is where Caitlin lives, you know. But then also when Caitlin is having a discussion with her parents, you can kind of see a dynamic. Like we've kind of already seen between Caitlin and her mother. Her mother's protective of her, kind of puts a little short leash on her if she can, and kind of tells her, you know, this is the way it is. But her dad seems a little bit more supportive, understanding. Sure. He's kind of in the scene telling the mom to back off a little bit. She's doing what she thinks is right, and she's back now, and she just need to take care of her for a minute here.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit more easier for his dad to be that way since Mrs. K is actually a council member.
True.
And has to actually, you know, has to deal with them, and the dad doesn't. So, you know, it's a little easier to be secondhand supportive than
true
that. But, you know, Jason, Mel seeing the destruction of the bridge, they saw Marcus dead. Is that when they realized that the Marcus was part of Silco's payment, you know, his corruption?
I don't know. I don't think they really tell us how they find out unless I missed it, but I know they talk about it later. So yeah,
they talk about it in the council meeting.
They tell the council member that they know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're very startled, obviously. Jace is the one that sent him there. Now they're dead. And the little green bugs still flying around. Firelight, whatever. Firelight. Was that a real firelight or was that one of Jinx's?
It might be a real one, and I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But. Oh no, it might have been a. Oh, that's okay. Because later it might have been a fake one. Because later, Jace was messing with something in his hand. I didn't know what it was, but it was one of the wings.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There it is. All right, so Silco brings Jinx to Singed, explains the process. Singed explains the process will be demanding and could kill Jinx. So Singe ends up drugging Silco and says, and he mentions that he did actually once have a daughter himself. We don't know much more about that other than that one line, do we?
No. No. Sometimes you got to drug the family to get your work done.
Yeah.
I wish I could do this sometimes. No, I was kidding.
Jesus.
I kind of like Singed. I kind of want to find out some more about him.
I know. You said last week. You said he didn't look scary. Like, okay. I don't know. He's not, okay. So if you're at the bar and that guy just sits and you're by yourself and that guy just sits right next to you.
Maybe a few years ago, my standards, maybe.
Yeah, they rose with me, didn't they? Oh, that's fucked. All right. So, again, this is just showing that Silco is an award. I mean, clearly he's worried about Jinx dying. Mm. He's worried about what Singed is going to do, and that Singed is telling him that, kind of the same thing he told Victor. He told Victor, people are going to look, they're going to frown upon this if you do this, and he's telling Silco that, this could possibly kill her. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't. Obviously, we know that by the end of the episode, but all right. So Vin, he arrives at the last drop to talk to Silvica. Vin says that Jinx is running the show now. He talks about Zahn has fallen into chaos. He tries to turn Silvica against Silco and mentions that there is bigger fish out there other than Silco.
Yeah. Kind of in this scene, first of all, Silvica is sitting there playing with her souped up arm, all the little weapons that come in and out of it. Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like a MacGyver thing. Yeah.
He kind of is asking her, like, why do you follow, why do you follow Silco when Jinx is basically getting all the credit? Like, you're the one doing the work, you're the one behind the scenes. But it's all Silco and Jinx. And I don't really know the answer to that either, unless it's not really true and he's just telling her bull crap in her ear. But I don't really know. Unless she's like for his cause, I guess. I guess it's the only reason I think I can think of. Unless there was another reason and
I don't know. I don't know.
Not sufficient enough to remember, but.
I don't know. Because Jinx, she does this fucking, so many things go off the chains when she's working on them. For example, on episode six, four, when she had to protect the shipment of Shimmer, all she was supposed to do was just protect the shipment, and she ended up killing three people and blowing, and the shipment got blown up. And right. Silvica tried to say that. So, he's kind of, and Silco never got mad at Jinx about that. I mean, he kind of did, but not really. And that's kind of what Finn's pointing out. I mean, he's kind of right.
Yeah.
He's not wrong, but, trying to turn Silvica, which is his right-hand woman, against them is pretty of a risky move.
That's what I was just going to say. I guess maybe he did save her arm, but.
Who did?
Silco.
Yeah, right.
Saved her arm, but she was with him before that, too, so.
Yeah, he's been with her for a while. But, he mentions there's bigger fish other than Silco. Who do you think he's talking about?
Probably himself. He looks like a guy who'd talk about himself that way.
You think so? I don't know. Yeah, probably. <huh? laughs> All right. So, Mel's mom arrives at Piltover. She exclaimed to send, She tells Mel that she sent her to Piltover to grow the family interest and to grow as a person. Mel mentions that her mom only sees Piltover citizens and council as soft spine idealist. And Mel's mom mentions that her brother was killed and that he crossed the wrong man. And they also mentioned that their family is from Nexus. Mel's mom wants to use the Hextech for weapons and. And a man takes Mel away her late night cuisine or her sample. She was local, a sample of the local cuisine. I don't know who thought of this fucking guy, but bravo. bravo to whoever in the RC room thought this fucking guy. What the fuck? Whoever thought, genius, give that man a raise, or woman, or whoever. But, I mean, we get a lot of expositional dump about what, basically what Mel, not, I guess it's not big, but Mrs. M, we're going to call her Mrs. M because I keep forgetting her goddamn name.
Medora.
Mrs. Medora, that she, I think she said 10 years Mel's been gone for. Is that right? Is that what she said? I thought she said 10 years. But regardless,
Yeah.
She kicked out her own kid. You know, Mel says for one reason, her mom says for another. We know that she had a brother and that he's dead. We know that the people from Nexus are, like, we've already kind of talked about this, but they are warlords. They do solve issues with violence, it seems like. I mean, her mom's chopping little girls' heads off. So, yeah, a lot of no mercy. What do you think about that scene?
Yeah, I see, and that's just how I was like, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I can't, you have to, I don't know, Google some stuff about it. And some place people were putting things in there. So like I did hear originally when I first kind of was watching like some YouTube videos and they were recapping stuff and they were talking about the characters. So yeah, Mel is not a character from Leagues. I don't think her mother is either, mm-hmm. but her brother, mm-hmm. Kino Medora, is. And he was, like, killed in the storyline, too.
What was his name?
Kino. K-I-N-O.
There's nobody named Kino in the game.
See? I don't know. Apparently, he's real on the internet, though.
All right.
Wherever these people get this information from. But, what was I going to say? But, yeah. And then they said something along the lines that, because I think, because you know how they have the hex, what do you call them? The Hex Gates?
Yeah.
Her family are the land where she's from.
Yeah, Nexus.
Had something to do with being one built there too. So okay. Her mom's kind of using her, or not, well, her, you know, so maybe that's why Mel uses people because that's all she knows too.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So kind of using them for her economic trade, and she knows that she probably did know her daughter was smart enough to get up in the council and, you know, I mean, she did. And it's only been like, well, it's been. That timeline doesn't seem right. Because how long was it a jump between, I don't know.
7 years. 6 to 7 years was when, how long Vi was in prison for.
Mel apparently just like grew up overnight and then stayed the same age. I don't know.
Well, she was, okay. So, well, I mean, according to this. I thought she said she's been sent over for 10 years. So that means she was at least within these last 7 years and 3 years prior to that, sometime between her getting there and those 3 years, she became a council member.
Yeah.
But I don't know how long she's been a council member. Because when we first see her in the first, I don't know, episode or two, whichever one we first saw her in, I don't know how long. Maybe she was a new council member. I have no idea. Yeah. It didn't say. Maybe but
her mother got her in there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, threatened to chop off people's heads. You don't do it. All right. So now this is when we get a Caitlin and Vi are going back to Caitlin's room. Vi sees Caitlin's investigation with the stuff going on in Piltover, and Vi was impressed. Vi talks, they lay down on the bed. Vi talks about Powder and basically says, let Powder know that no monsters will get you. And she ends up blames herself about Powder. Yeah, we just get a big bonding moment. Vi is just kind of giving,
walls are breaking down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what I said. I liked it. It was very emotional connection, but doesn't have to necessarily be romantic. I'm pretty sure it is. But it doesn't have to be. And just, I think people just always assume romance because.
Some girlmance?
It's romance because that's really, well, I guess if you count Mel and Jace, it's kind of what it's really. I say missing from the show, but just an aspect they haven't really.
What?
Like a romantic relationship, but.
What are you talking about? Jason fucking Mel are banging. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but it's not really romantic.
What do you call it?
Manipulation.
Yeah, I guess.
Power struggle. Getting your rocks off.
Yeah.
But this is more emotional and more personal, I feel like.
But to Jace, he thinks it's romance. Right? That's it.
I don't know. If you have to ask, then I almost think then you don't know either. But
I'm not asking, I'm telling. He's in. Literally he's in. So all right.
The local cuisine.
He's in the lake, exactly. All right. I really like this. I like when when Vi is telling the story about Powder, and you can tell that this, is just kind of confirming that she blames herself about Powder going off the wall and turning into Jinx. So it's good. I like it. Now we move on to Jinxie. She gets the shimmer. She ends up having visions of Vi. She sees Vi shooting a version of Powder. Then Caitlyn shows up. Then Silka awakens and holds a knife to Singed's throat. So.
Because he wakes up and she's not there. But, yes, I say, but he tells her, and then obviously she sees, not that there's anything new, but she sees Caitlyn as the one doing it to her. Because she's kind of like feeling tortured a little bit with the shimmer, and even though it's kind of saving her life, and then Caitlyn's the one at the hand of it. Silka wakes up and Jinx is gone off the table. And, but he does tell, Singed does tell him that Jinx is not dead. It's alive.
Yeah, she is. But which is this kind of, it's just drilling home that Jinx is just insanely jealous of Caitlyn.
Right.
Basically. She feels that Vi doesn't love her anymore. And that she killed off Powder and is taking in a new sister, quote unquote. So, yep, just telling that story again, but that's fine. That's fine. I like it. And she's full of the shimmer, too.
Full of the shimmer.
Now was she fucking wacky before. Now she's
shimmered up.
She's juiced up. Yeah. Let's see what that brings, huh? All right. So we have Heimer walking the streets of Zaun. He finds a poor girl playing in the street, and he makes her a little mechanical toy. Her mother comes running out and takes the girl away. As he's walking near the docks, he finds Echo's glider. Echo emerges from the rumble with a broken leg, recognizes Heimer, and Heimer wants to help Zaun, but he feels unwelcome.
When I did notice that scene, too, it kind of made me think that, like, you don't see, like, at least the scenes that we've seen, you don't see a lot of children in Zaun, but I mean, they have to be.
Yes, you do. We see a whole factory full of them at the end of this episode.
But that's what you, well, I was going to say, you don't on the streets. And so you wonder where they all are.
Oh,
and then we find out where they
are. Yeah.
But then, yes, he finds Echo's hoverboard, and he's impressed by the craftsmanship, and then he finds Echo. Yeah, and he says he's trying to help Zaun. But they find him unwelcome, and Echo says we're having the same day because he's trying to help Piltover.
Yep,
and they're not having him welcome either. So,
yeah, this is this could be a. I'm looking forward to this. Man, spoiler alert, minor. There is a little bit more between Heimer and Echo, but this is getting to the tail end of their arc in this whole season. There's not a lot. I don't think there's a little bit next episode, but I don't think there's a lot, is there?
I can't remember a whole lot.
I think they go to the tree and they talk a little bit more, and that's like about it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think right now I am pretty, I like this scene a lot, and I really want to see what happens between, because, I mean, Echo seems like a very smart boy. He understands. I mean, if Heimer's impressed with his tech work, that's probably saying a lot, right?
Right.
Yeah, so... I'm really excited to see where this goes, to see, to kind of see these two guys emerge as leaders inside of Down in Zaun, and whichever way they do or can, or however, which way that goes. But, with Heimer's arc in this season, it's been a little frustrating. It's probably the most frustrating arc in this whole season for me personally, because he's a big character in the game. He was actually one of the OG characters in the game. When I started playing, there wasn't a lot. There was only like fucking like 30 people, I think. And now it's like 150. But at the time, there was only like 30, and he was one of the first ones. So I mean, I guess I'm excited to see where this goes. I want to see his what point was I getting to? Oh, his story arc, it doesn't, I don't know. It just feels like it doesn't necessarily really, it kind of goes somewhere, but I think a lot can be forgiven if it actually does go somewhere next season. Like, it seemed like this is like a half a story. Like,
yeah,
it seems like he has a fuller story and this is only like half of it. Mm-hmm. As you know, as well as the other characters. I mean, there's more to be seen next episode, but a lot of these characters, it kind of seems, it kind of wraps it up, but you kind of feel more of a complete arc. And like his, it just, I don't know.
I like them together because,
I do too.
Because, well, first of all, I know you said like Echo, his power in like the game is kind of like, I don't say time travel, but a little bit like jumps back and forth. And he's very,
he can reverse time. So like in the game, if you're running, you have like this shadow of Echo walking behind you. It's a force. The shadow is 4 seconds behind what you've done.
Right.
So, and you can hit a button, you can warp back to that back 4 seconds where you were 4 seconds ago. So that's like his big move in the game.
So he's very like time oriented.
Yeah.
Like I said, I even like on his face, he's got the painting. It looks like an hourglass.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned
that.
He uses
the stopwatch. And then of course, when you go back to his little hub, you know, he's got the tree and he's trying to build the future, but he has the memorial. So he's remembering the past. But then like Heimerdinger, you know, he's 300 years old. So he knows most of the past that there is. And so I think it's like a good combination because he knows a lot of the past, and then I feel like Echo's got like this big vision for the future.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That is, it's a fantastic combo, and I'm real excited to see kind of where they take it from here. But you know, minor spoiler, there's not really too much more they say on top of this going forward, but it's something to look forward to in season two. So now here we go. The fucking weirdest scene out of this whole season. The local cuisine man is washing Mrs. M's back. She's talking to Jace. She's telling, basically saying that the council members are the problem of Piltover, that they're weak. And she's trying to convince Jace that his leadership basically needs to take over.
I like how she's taking command of the room all while naked.
She doesn't miss leg day at all at the gym.
I need to lift some more weights, I think.
Yeah. Imagine what she'd do to you with her thighs. Yeah, she'd fucking break that guy in half if that was real. Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, this scene is rather ridiculous, but it's still pretty hilarious.
I don't know if I just wasn't, like, my brain wasn't in the right spot, but I mean, she's definitely trying to tell Jace, you know, something obviously she's talking to, but something about, you know, a commander being blindfolded and leading by his brain and not his actions.
And
he was killed. And Jace goes into like, well, we're innovators. I don't really understand. I mean, I guess failure is a part of progression, but he's saying that they have a 3% success rate. And so all of it's failure. So we know failure. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. I don't know if that's a really driving point, but she just tells him to make sure he's not being blindfolded and being slaughtered. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, in a way, I think his mom, you know, like most people in most situations like this, I think her mom has a point. Like, you can't just sit back and not do anything. Maybe, I guess I would agree with her, but her mom probably, she takes everything to extreme. Like,
yes.
At the beginning, she cuts off fucking little girls' heads.
Right.
You know, and like, she just takes it to that extreme. And, you know, you got to find the balance. And that's what Jace is always constantly trying to find. He's trying to find the balance. So, anyways, let's move on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now we move over to the council meeting. Now, the councilors are still complaining about the trade being down. Vi and Caitlin arrive. They explain that Zahn is starving and the shimmer is flooded in the streets. They mention that Silco is the problem and that he wants to build the nation of Zahn. Vi tells him about the hex gem. Jace mentions he wants to go to war. Mel suggests more of a diplomatic solution. I can't talk. Vi says you can't negotiate with Silco. And they kick Vi out, and Caitlin goes running after her. And Vi mentions they just weren't meant to be, that they're oil and water. Where do we want to start?
Well, I was going to say, I didn't catch it the first time. We actually watched this scene twice.
Yeah, we had to watch it twice.
I didn't catch it the first time, but in the beginning when they were just showing the council members, they were talking about that they figured out that Marcus was behind all of it. Or not behind all of it, but he was basically working for Silco.
Yep.
And they didn't know. And then this is where Jace is kind of playing with the little firelight mechanical wing too. So he's obviously having his own thoughts.
Well, I noticed that the same guy from before was still complaining about the trade being down.
Yeah.
That dude still just, all he cares about is money.
Yeah.
Doesn't give a shit about anything else. So, you know, fuck that guy. So,
Then you have I and Caitlin walk in and, they mentioned that it's Silco, but they said that they've done investigations on it. And she's all like, well, who did the investigations?
Exactly.
And they all kind of like, it was Marcus.
Yeah. So when the police have to investigate the police. Yeah.
So,
we found no wrongdoing here.
But Vi really wants to think that we need to strike at Silco. And it's kind of weird because like before Mel was all about making the weapons for protection, hopefully not using them, but let's make them. But Jace was kind of like, I don't know about that. But now here the roles kind of switched. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because Mel's like, maybe I don't want to be like my mother.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's not how we should be. And Jace just probably keeps on thinking about all the weapons they've been thrown at them and all the death that they've caused and that it's time.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when Vi shows up and starts trying to tell them that, you know, you wish the council would take her a little bit more seriously since she actually is from Zom, but they don't, they kind of do, they kind of don't. I mean, they just end up kicking her out. You know, this is when we see Caitlin run after her and basically,
in the rain,
all dramatic.
Dramatic. Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet thing or something. I don't know, but,
she doesn't feel understood by her world.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's never going to work out. Cupcake.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I like it again. I like it. Feels natural. I'm going to say it feels good, but it feels like what these characters would say in a situation like this.
Yeah.
And that's what you always want to see. You don't want to feel like anything's coming from left field. And it feels like Vi is just kind of like, at the end of a rope with some of the stuff that nobody's taking them seriously. What's Vi's solution? But her solution is to go to war. Like she has since she was a little kid, she's been wanting to do this.
Yeah.
Just wants to kill these mobsters and gangsters and get them out of there. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. But anything else to add to that scene or... I mean, they mentioned the Nation of Zaan, and this is the first time the council hearing about it.
Yeah.
You know, secession, we've talked about this before, but...
And I like how, and this was kind of the theme all along, but I think Jace says the Hex Stones versus Shimmer. We use the Hextex versus Shimmer.
Oh, did he?
Yep. Hex Magic versus the Shimmer.
What are you putting your bet on?
What?
What are you putting your bet on?
Shimmer's kind of fucked up. It's kind of like it's kind of like the powerful, crazy wild card, like Jinx.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, two Hex Gems beat up how many Shimmer monsters?
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. Yeah, you know, we talked about the Nation of Zaan before, but I think, you know, the council hearing this for the first time, it's... pretty interesting. We'll see where that goes from there. I guess we've talked about that before. Not much more to add. Okay. So Victor takes his... now we get a big scene with Victor taking his first step with his new leg, his mechanical leg. Skye, go
Hex,
on.
Hex tech run leg.
Hex shim hex leg?
Shim hex leg.
Shim hex leg. Yeah. All right. Skye is walking down the... hallway, wanted to talk to Victor about some research he's been doing over the last year. Victor turns on the hex core as Skye steps into the room. She tries to stop him, and Skye gets vaporized.
Vaporized. Except for her glasses. But yeah. I guess that's not natural matter, so never, that's not organic matter, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
Victor, he's got his leg. It's 100% a-okay. He's running down the dock with it.
Sprinting.
So he's not, so I think he's going back to make something else.
Yeah. Well, he was working, because when he was done, when Sky died, his hand was turned into.
Yeah.
His, I think his right hand was turned into the same thing, whatever his leg was, kind of like that, like a robot hex shimmer thing, combination of everything.
It's really hard to tell people's ages on this show, but I mean, maybe they don't age like us too, because Sky seems really young. Like, she's definitely like schoolgirlish. Like, she wants to go talk to Victor. Like, she's practicing what she's saying.
But in the earlier scene, they were like the same age when they're at the river. Okay. Jace is like 30. I want to say he's 32. He's like 30. He's in his early 30s right now, if I remember right. I would guess Victor's probably right around the same age.
Right.
So, but yeah, she's dead. So. Who cares?
She tried to save him, though. It was another romantic moment.
Yeah, I mean, she's had the hots for Victor this whole time, and Victor's just been blowing her off and gets killed. Poor Sky. Wish we knew you better, bud. Wish we knew you better. All right. Okay. Jace is using the hex gem to power up weapons. Vi shows up and wants to help. She talks to Jace about, does he understand what Stillwater even is? And Jace lets her know, says no, and Vi puts on the gloves, and Vi wants to go ahead and shut down the Shimmer plants.
Yeah. Vi suggests that's the only way to get to Silco, is to cut off his Shimmer. That's all he's got. Once you cut that off, all his little gangster council are going to turn on him.
Yep.
So you won't even have to go in there and fight him. His people will turn on him themselves.
Because if he has no money coming in, what's he going to do to, what kind of leverage is he going to have? Or he has leverage with the Shimmer itself, with the people. I mean, like, he has control over the drug streets.
Right. You know? I'm sure Jace probably thinks this is probably a pretty good plan, because then he probably doesn't have to hurt as many people.
Yeah.
If he just has to, like, you know... Well,
they're expecting probably only, gangsters to be down there, right. Not little kids. I mean, as we come to find out, but, and I think I like Vi's point about Jace not really understanding what Stillwater even is.
Right.
You know, they
send people there.
Yeah, man. I think this is, I, again, I don't know, but I think they're trying to say something about American prisons here. I think, I don't know.
Sure. Well, actually, that's not true. I was going to say most prisons are prisons, but that's actually not true either.
Yeah. I mean, just put them down in a cell and throw away the key and never think about them. And, you know, we know Vi's not really a bad person. Well, yeah, because he threw her down there under false pretenses.
Right.
Yeah. So, but Jace didn't know that, but whatever. So, yeah, she gets the gloves and they're ready to rock and roll. So, all right, the final scene. Let's see, where are we at? We're at 47 minutes. All right. So the enforcers arrive down at the Shimmer factory. They start to shut it down. One of the boys who they're arresting gets away and sets off the alarm. The Shimmer guards come to life and they start to kill the enforcers. Jace powers his hammer. Vi puts on her gloves and they fight the Shimmer monsters. As in the middle of the fight, Jace accidentally kills one of the boys. Jace notices that Silco is using children as the factory workers. Caitlin, oh, we'll stop right there. Okay, so the Shimmer fight. What'd you think?
Well, I was gonna say, this is Jace's first fight scene.
Yep.
Look like he's been doing it forever.
Yep.
Comes natural.
He's either a most natural man on the planet, or he's been practicing and he hasn't been showing us.
Right.
One of the two. Yeah, because he's beating the shit out of these people.
But when they first go in there, it's like we only see like the one young worker and the other ones look like regular adults.
It's like one or two regular guys.
Right.
There. Yeah.
And enforcers storm in first and then they come after the enforcers. So really when the fight happens, like the boy pushes the button, it's kind of like they're people in these suits, and it's kind of like they're
space suits,
and they just feed in the Shimmer vapor, and then they turn into psycho robots. And so then he's just fighting just the robots, and then all of a sudden he turns around and sees the kid. So I don't even know if Jace knew that the kid was there at all until he shot him.
I don't know if you notice a lot of anything when 10 shimmer monsters are trying to kill you. So, what do you think about the shimmer monsters design? Did you like that?
I kind of did.
You did?
I'm trying to think of what it reminded me of. Some kind of like activating of the aliens. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then they
really,
kind of.
Really, I didn't really like it, but they look kind of stupid.
Sorry.
Yeah. But whatever.
I'll write him a letter.
For next season, you better fix this. Yeah. I didn't really care for it, but whatever. Watching Vi kick some ass. I mean, this is her in the game. Mm-hmm. She has those big ass gloves in the game, and her that's what in the game, that's what you do, you just walk around and punch the shit out of everybody. So I meant Jace has that hammer. It's almost identical to how it works. Like he just swings it around and you can turn it into like kind of like a gun thing. It has a couple different functions. They stuck with the game like kind of mechanics. They did a really good job. The fight was cool and beating some ass. We kind of knew this big fight was going to happen at some point, and here it is. But also, what I also noticed is, I think I came to a realization is that after this fight, the fight is cool, but I don't know. I just remember the first time we watched this, I realized I fucking love these characters because like even this fight didn't happen in this episode, I still liked this episode. Mm-hmm. The fighting was just kind of a cherry on top on a fucking delicious Sunday, you know? Yeah. So I think this scene is kind of solidified for me why I like the show so much, because like him killing the kid, that's like super interesting. Not like it's not good, but it kind of throws it in a twist. Casualty of war, then the kids. Now Jace realizing there's kids up there. What's that going to do to Jace? You know, Vi already hates Silco. I don't think it's going to change her mind too much. But yeah, this is a great scene. A lot of stuff I don't know what else to say about it, but it was good. It was good. Real good. So anything else to add?
No, I don't know if I'm going to go too far. You have more to say?
Just a little bit more. This is just one more scene. So,
because as I say, after he, you know, he blasts the young kid, then I think he takes a moment to look it, right? He looks around and he realizes it's all child workers. So children, yep. All the children on the street are down there working with the shimmer, which I'm sure is like a defensive tactic on Silco's part.
Yeah.
So people don't, you know, they have moral, I don't know. How many people have moral rights trying to attack the shimmer?
Fucking Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Remember? Got all those kids in the mind. Yeah, same thing. You've been watching too much Harrison Ford, man. So, all right. So Caitlin is in the shower. She starts getting visions of Vi. As she steps out of the shower, there's Jinx's classic writing on the mirror, and Jinx is standing right behind her.
With her little shimmer purple eyes.
Shimmer eyes. Shimmering eyes. Maybe they might kiss. I don't know. Nope. So, yeah, bad news for Caitlin because she's in the nude and Jinx has got the jump on her. That's bad.
Always a bad situation.
That's a bad situation to be in. You're most vulnerable. So, all right. I guess I don't really know what else to say about the end other than that. Sucks for Caitlin. I don't know what else to add to that. That's about that. Well. What else we got to add to the thing? You're looking, you got a little blank look on your face.
I was just going to say, Vi's going to have to save her.
Yep. Vi to the rescue. Jace to the rescue. So, again, great episode. Another good. We got one more episode. How do you feel about that?
The end of the road.
It's the end of the road, folks.
Maybe. I don't know.
Come on, maybe. That's
I
it.
I don't know.
We start reviewing the trailers.
Maybe.
This fucking trailer is amazing.
Play by play.
What's going to happen next on the next frame?
I think I saw something in the reflection of the background.
Yeah. All right. You know, everyone that's been tuning in, if you made it this far, thank you very much. I appreciate it. This one is a little shorter than normal. If we're going on 55 minutes. We didn't even break an hour this week. Oh. Let's see. What else? Is there anything else we need to talk about?
I don't think so. What are we going to do next week? Obviously, episode 9.
We're going to review it.
And review it.
That's what we're going to do, like we do every week. This one's coming out a little bit early. We're doing this on Sunday night instead of Monday night. So, I guess that's a little bonus. And please get, I should have said this at the front. Please get those emails in. We need them for your season two predictions, and we'll talk about them on the final podcast. We'll read them out. We'll talk about them. If you can get them in, that's great. If not, we're still a little bit light on them. So arcanepod@gmail.com. You can fly me.
You say that every time.
I'm just going to stick with it. You can fly me at Instagram at Flying the Donut.
Find me on Instagram at Michelle AOERTEL.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Every week's been great. We've been actually every week we've been getting more and more listeners. It goes up about, this may sound like a lot, but 40 or 50 more people than the previous week. So we're getting cranking out over 300 downloads this week. Small podcast, but you know, we appreciate all you guys that listen to this stuff.
Big to us.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. We really like doing this. So until next week, my name's Nick. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm Michelle. Bye.